You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I want to hear from a few Yankee fans. So let's start with you, Sean Morash. Luke Weaver was certainly a guy that at times you really liked, really trusted, was a big part of your bullpen for parts of two seasons. What's your view on the Yankees losing Luke Weaver to the New York Mets?
Well, I can say this definitively. For the second straight offseason, the Mets have signed Sean Morash's favorite Yankee. That's true.
That's how you felt about Luke Weaver?
I love Luke Weaver.
Yeah, I found an old tweet of you. You ready for this?
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you're walking right into it. This isn't a catch-you moment because okay. You're backing it up. This is from May 22nd, 2025, right before Luke Weaver fell off the rooftop. Luke Weaver is the best and most trustworthy closer for the Yankees since Mariano. That was you.
Yeah, and
so
and was true at the time.
It's true, you love him.
Yeah. And it was true at the time. Obviously, he felt whatever happened where if he was tipping a little pitches, location after he come back from the injuries. Here's the truth. You're an idiot if you don't watch baseball and understand that there are so, more often than not, relievers are very year-to-year in Major League Baseball. And I believe that Luke Weaver's downside last year after the injury, as much as it was infuriating, tough to figure out. I mean, he blew that 4th of July game to the Mets. A lot of that was tough to handle. I was of the belief this offseason, even if the Yankees weren't going to bring him back, that I believe Luke Weaver is going to have a huge bounce-back season. And I also think that Luke Weaver, for whether you liked him, didn't like him, his mentality and his kind of like odd persona and wiriness is really oddly fit perfect for late innings and pressure.
Yeah, he's a weird guy.
He's a weird guy in a good way.
Like, nice guy, weird guy.
Here, when you watched Devin Williams pitch last year, you couldn't figure out if Devin Williams like mentally just was crumbling under the pressure. I never thought that Luke Weaver's struggles had anything to do with like a mental crumbling of the moment. I think it was very mechanical and everything to do with it. So I say that to say, I expect Luke Weaver to have a really big year for the Mets.
So you thought it was a good move is what you're saying?
I thought it was a good move, and in the end, I believe Luke Weaver will ultimately prove to be the closer of the New York Mets by the time the season ends.
Wow. So you're not taking this time to mock the Mets yet again signing a Yankee castoff, if you will. Because in fairness, the Yankees did not pursue re-signing Luke Weaver, just like they did not pursue re-signing Devin Williams. Well, so whether they have great years or not, that may happen. It's their bullpen arms. The Yankees did not pursue keeping either guy.
Are we sure? Because yesterday there was a report the Yankees were one of 10 teams that are interested in it.
I heard that they weren't, but okay. Who knows? We know Devin for sure.
Look,
we know Devin for sure. Maybe not on Weaver.
It is fair to look at the Mets and go, oh my God, they got another ex-Yankee. In fact, when I did my 5 bold predictions for this winter, I said the Mets would sign at least one more Yankee.
No.
I brought up Luke Weaver. So I was right on that. I can't mock if I think the guy's going to be really good there.
All right. So that's a positive view from Sean Morash. I received an audio text message from a friend of mine.
All right.
And he did give me permission to play any part of the clip I wanted. It was a minute and a half long, so I picked the end of his conversation in which he was talking to me as a Yankee fan about Luke Weaver and Devin Williams.
Dude, the guy was awful. $11 million a year? So you basically spent how much? $24 million this year and next year and whatever on two relievers that suck for us. Congratulations.
That's very funny.
So do you share that belief?
Yeah, but again, I go back to what I said. They did suck for us last year at the end of the year, but relievers are year to year.
Listen, I think you actually have the right healthy view of this with relievers. There are very few relief pitchers that are sure things. Very few. Most of the time you sign relievers and you never know what you're going to get. Now, Luke is a little bit different because he's a converted starting pitcher. And I want to throw that out there. Let us not rule out that the Mets may move him to the rotation, which I am against, by the way.
Like, if they do that, then I'm totally mocking you.
Okay, me too. I'm against that as well. Like, Luke was a starting pitcher with Arizona and St. Louis, and he bounced around baseball and even the Yankees. He made a few starts in 2023. When they moved him to the bullpen in 2024, he was awesome. He was awesome because he could pitch multiple innings, and he was really good, and he never let the pressure bother him. Last year, he got off to another great start until the hamstring issue, came back probably too early, and then from June on was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no disputing it. And the why is the big question. Like, why was he awful? Did the league figure him out? Well, if that's the case, that's deeply concerning. Was it his mechanics altering because he came back so quick from the hamstring? If that's the case, great. That's easily fixable.
Certainly possible.
Or is it tipping pitches, which is like what everyone says when things are going badly? I don't know the why, but obviously if the why is either of those last two things, that's easily fixable.
Yeah.
And if Luke Weaver can be half as what he was in 2024, it's a great signing.
I think it is too. His velocity never really dipped after that either. It felt like just location was just pinpoint off, which I think is a mechanical issue and is very correctable. Of all the things that have frustrated Met fans, I think you're going to be pleasantly happy with the summer you get from Luke Weaver, would be my projection.
I hope you're right. I mean, I looked at the relievers that were out there, and Pete Fairbanks was one of the top names. And what scared me about Fairbanks is that every year he got hurt. Every year there was a different injury. So as good as he was when he pitches, and certainly has more of a track record being a back end of the bullpen guy and stud than Luke Weaver, he also had such a long history of injuries. Luke Weaver had one injury last year, was hamstring, it was very fluky. He was really good once he was converted. And assuming the Mets keep him in that role, which they better, because obviously moving him to the rotation changes the view of this signing, I think it's a fine gamble. Now, is $11 million too much to gamble? I mean, look at the other bullpen arms that were out there. Like, I mean, where are you going? Tyler Rogers made $11 million, and I think Tyler is more reliable than Luke Weaver, and I would assign them, but obviously 3 years, 37, apparently was too much for the Mets as compared to 2 years, 22. But I think Rogers was actually one of the rare guys that had such a reliable track record. But Luke Weaver's like most relievers. They don't have a 5 or 6 year track record of being really good. You just have to hope that the Mets are going to fix whatever issues hit Luke Weaver in the second half of 2025.
And if you look at the October of 2024, Luke Weaver has proven it in the big game more than Edwin Diaz has in his career at the back end.
Well, he had a lot of opportunities. So to your point, in the 2024 postseason, Luke Weaver pitched 15 and a third innings, allowed 3 runs, 16 strikeouts, 2 walks, pitched to a 1.76 ERA. So he pitched very well in the postseason. Obviously, this past postseason, no one wants to talk about that.
No.
Because he was atrocious. A third of an inning, 4 hits and 5 runs.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
He was unpitchable.
I agree.
So the Mets just have to fix that. So.
But they got a pitching lab, though, Evan. They should be able to clean that
up. They just blew up the pitching lab.
How about the fact that they're employing 3 former Yankee closers, too?
Oh, because of Clay Holmes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of former Yankees. And I remember saying this about the Devin signing. It's a small thing, but it's an important thing. It does help when you sign a former Yankee, or in your case, you sign a former Met, that the guy has experience pitching in New York. Like, if let's say the Mets signed Pete Fairbanks, besides the injuries that I just talked about, one of the things I would have thrown out there about Fairbanks was, he's been in Tampa.
Right.
Can he handle New York? We don't have to do that with Luke Weaver.
You don't.
So as much as it's easy fodder, I understand the appeal of actually signing someone from the other New York team.
Can I give you the downside?
Sure.
I brought up the mentality of Devin Williams. Devin Williams already has to deal with the idea of he's replacing Edwin Diaz. Now his biggest threat to taking his job with the Mets is the guy that took his job last year. It's got to be a little mentally wearing on you in that locker room.
Maybe. Probably not, but I'll let you make your theory.
Okay. You can smirk because I think I just brought something to the table. We can break that down on the Rico.
I don't think I'm going to break down the relationship of Luke Weaver and Devin. You like the signing, Tommy?
I do, and this tells me that Cody Bellinger's next. If they're going to just sign every former Yankee, why wouldn't Bellinger be a part of that? Right? Like, I know, Evan, you have gone back and forth on this now, but after the signing of Luke Weaver, doesn't that once again get you back in the camp that Bellinger is going
to
be a Met?
No, I think it has nothing to do with it.
Counterpoint. This proves Cody Bellinger is going to be a Yankee, because if they're not rubbing nickels together for Luke Weaver to bring him back, they're saving every last dollar for Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't think that one has to do with the other. I really don't. I think that the Met view, I'm assuming the Met view of Bellinger is similar to their view of Alonso, which is there's a certain area we'll go, and we're not going to exceed that. That's what I'm assuming the Mets are doing. And I think the Yankees may be doing the same thing, which is we're not going further than blank, whatever that is, 5 years, 6 years, a certain amount of money per year. I'm not sure. But I don't think this has anything to do with that, would be my guess. But hopefully we get an answer. And I'm very conflicted about Bellinger with the Mets, because obviously as a baseball player, he's a really good fit. He just is. Like, as a guy that can play multiple positions, as a guy that's a plus defender, as a guy that hits left-handed pitching, he's a good ball player. I'm conflicted on him getting a contract that I'm going to deem, why didn't you offer that to Pete? And I know I have to get over that.
Yeah, you do.
But you do. I'm just being honest that that's probably going to be my first reaction.
But you know why. You know why they're doing that, if they do it. It's because he's more athletic, he's a better defensive player, and he fits what David Stearns is trying to build.
I totally understand that he's more athletic. I totally understand he's a better defender. Like, I cannot argue that, because I agree with that. But they're the same age, and Cody has more of an injury history than Pete does. And reliability matters. Like, say what you want about Pete and how unathletic he is and what kind of defender he is. Availability is really important. And I wouldn't shortchange that when you're signing a guy into his 30s. So I just disagree. Like, I get it. I just disagree. You know what I mean? Like, what would you value more, dependability or athleticism and defense?
I would
forget the names, because I think we're going to be biased.
A player A, player B.
Would you put more of a value on that guy plays all the time, but he's not a great defender, or he doesn't play nearly as much, but boy, when he plays, he's a hell of a defender? What would you put more value on?
Yeah, the first guy you mentioned, player A.
So we agree.
We agree, but David Stearns disagrees with both of us.
I know.
And I think that's just something we have to accept, that this is his plan, this is the way he's going to build this team. And if he gives him 5 years, it's because he valued Bellinger more than Alonso.
I think the way we do this as sports fans is we always eventually accept.
Yes.
But we offer our strong opinions when it happens.
When do you think you really finally get over Pete Alonso?
I'm not over DeGrom.
Bro.
I'm not. I still get pissy about it.
You made the NLCS after he was gone.
Yeah, they could have won the World Series if he was there.
You're not going to get... It's going to take you at least three... That means we're working with that?
Do you think Joe's over Darryl? I don't think Joe's over Darryl.
Joe's not over Seaver.
You guys are insane. No, I got over Soto.
But you got to... First of all, come on, dude. The guy was there for 1 year. Don't
we
do that.
We made the World Series.
I get that, but it was 1 year. It's just not the same.
It is the same.
No, it's not the same.
It is the same.
It's not. And also, here's the other difference. You really genuinely made every attempt to keep Juan Soto. You really did. The Yankees went to 16 years and $750 million. Like, they tried. They lost. They battled. They went to the one-yard line. They lost. With those guys, with Darryl, DeGrom, and Alonso, bro, they didn't even make a real attempt.
You guys got to get it together here. You're building something here with
you
the Mets.
You asked me a question.
I was
and I'm giving
answer.
You an answer.
I thought you were going to be like, you know what? I sit down. I go through those gates opening day. We're ready. It's a new season. I wasn't expecting to say.
No, but that's different. That's very different. Like, getting over something, the answer is never. Moving on enough to just evaluate things on their own, I don't know, a couple of weeks. That's different. But getting over it? I don't get over a lot of things. There's certain things you live with. You're like, no, I'm never going to get over that.
Are you over not working with Joe anymore?
I miss Joe, but I'm over it. I mean, he needed to move on. He wanted to retire. Like, what am I going to get mad about?
It's not mad, but
Craig needed more money. Like, I'm not going to get mad about it. Like, okay. Both of those guys left with good reasons. Like, I'm not mad at them.
Okay.
A show idea here for the new year as my last, you know, act as executive producer.
What?
You guys need to have a sports intervention with Evan to help him get over these things of the past so he can move on as a sports fan.
How about we just give him an oil change?
I think it was oil check, but yes.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Mets offered him 3 years, $66 million, with $21 million deferred over 10 years. The Mets then produced another offer, adding a $9 million signing bonus to match the Dodgers' offer. But Diaz wanted an average annual salary of at least $20 million after deferrals were taken into account and less deferred money spread over a shorter period. The Mets refused to meet those terms. The Dodgers did, and Edwin Diaz felt compelled to accept it since the Dodgers accepted it. Why take it back to the Mets when they said no and the Dodgers said yes? So this reinforces my opinion that they thought he was coming back. They wanted him back. I think they got way too cute in these negotiations, including Castillo mentioning again that Edwin Diaz was, quote, miffed by the Devin Williams signing and not being informed about it. So whether you want to call Edwin sensitive or not, clearly the Mets' handling of these negotiations helped nudge him slightly to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, why am I less mad at Edwin Diaz? There was a third team that made an offer to Edwin. Okay. We know about the Dodgers. We know about the Mets. And this third team made a five-year offer.
The Yankees?
It was not the Yankees.
Huh.
He received a five-year offer from the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, my God.
Now, we don't know how much money it was per year. I'm assuming it was less.
That would have been great.
And the Braves also declined to match Edwin's ask. But they did make him a five-year offer, and Edwin Diaz said no.
Ah, so you respect that. He could have got more long-term security by going to the Braves, your rival, and he didn't do that.
And what I care about is that as much as we hate the Dodgers and they're evil and they're bad for baseball, the division rival still matters more than the team outside of my division.
Absolutely.
I would have been more pissed at Edwin Diaz signing with the Braves than him signing with the Dodgers.
That stupid A on the hat coming out to the trumpets. That would have been a tough pill.
And more than anything, it's 6 games versus 13 games.
Yeah, he's in your face way more.
And winning a division, as we've talked about, is really important.
And it comes down to a couple games. He's shutting down those couple games, and Devin Williams is blowing a couple games. That's all the difference in the world.
I am happier that Edwin Diaz is a Dodger as compared to the Atlanta Braves.
Yes, however, I think the Knicks, and whether it's Stearns, Cohen, they need to learn a valuable lesson.
The
here.
Knicks?
I'm sorry, the Mets. I have the Knicks on my mind. It's such a big game tonight. I know we're going to get to this later.
Okay.
It's all I can think about is this city's long-awaited parade. coming back.
All I could think about is a cup finally coming back to Madison Square Garden. It's been a long time. But keep going.
Okay, we're not going to do anti-Rangers.
If you want to take shots, I'm going to take shots.
You don't like the Knicks.
I'm a fair man.
I'm being fair. I'm rooting for the Knicks to win a championship.
And I'm rooting for the Garden to finally win a cup. But continue on.
What were we talking about?
Oh, Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
Okay, the Mets.
Let's go Knicks.
Mets, Cohen and Stearns, valuable lesson here. I think Diaz taught him a lesson, which was don't assume once you made that Juan Soto signing and you feel like you kind of punched up that you are this like financial behemoth, that now any player that plays for the Mets is going to do you the solid of that last final offer, I'm coming back to you. I think Diaz told him that lesson. I think the Mets operated that, yeah, okay, we'll just play this negotiating way. We're still the Mets. We're still your home. You'll still ultimately come back to us with that last deal. He didn't.
Well, and also,
and I think you got to learn from that.
I absolutely. I think you got to be more aggressive. I remember when Steve first took over the team, and this is before they signed Juan Soto, I would talk openly that you have to overpay for players.
Yeah.
Like Yamamoto. I remember coming on the radio 2 years ago saying, yeah, it was a great offer. It needed to be higher. If you're going to beat the Dodgers or beat the Yankees in a negotiation, you got to beat them. You got to beat them cleanly. And even a guy like Edwin Diaz, who's been here since 2019, I think you have to have the same aggressiveness.
How about this? If you set your ego aside here for a second, or maybe I'm asking you to bring your ego into this.
If my ego? What ego do I have?
I guess it's the generic ego.
Oh,
let's just picture you're in that Met locker room, okay? You're on a team that has the special season, goes to an NLCS, all right? You feel like you're as big a reason as any. And I'm talking about Diaz and even to a lesser extent Alonso here. Then in that offseason, the Mets go out of their way to have one of the most public, you know, look what they gave Soto, the suite, the this, the that. If you're in that locker room and now you're waiting to get paid a year later, and you see the Mets kind of playing this hard line of, okay, we're going to go kind of, you know, ticky-tack here, this. I'm looking at that going, well, screw you. I just witnessed you go all out for a player that wasn't a part of this winning in this room. I'm an important piece of this. I'm not bringing that last deal back. I gave you a chance. You wanted to play that game. I saw how you operated a year ago. I do think the long-term ramifications of players in that room seeing how the Soto situation was handled as opposed to the Mets taking care of their own a year later does add up.
I think you need to be aggressive. Yeah. I think that's the lesson from this.
Soto was aggressive.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you're partially right with it. I think that you can't take for granted that someone who's been with your team since 2019 is going to come back and shop that last offer. I brought this up a few weeks ago about DeGrom that apparently Texas told Jake, this is our offer and you can't take it back to the Mets. And Jake accepted. And he also knew the Mets weren't going to match it. Mm-hmm. And he also, as everyone has said, didn't want to come back.
Right. He wanted to beat DeGrom.
Edwin Diaz is talking to the Dodgers. He asks for something. Hey, give me this. The Dodgers simply are like, okay. How do you take that back to the Mets when the Dodgers simply just said yes to what you were asking for?
Right.
And that's the dangerous game of free agency. But Tommy, do you agree with me that you would have been more pissed at him if he was a Brave than a Dodger? Or no?
It's a tricky one. Yes is the easy answer because it is a division rival, but the Braves kind of stink. Like, the Dodgers, to me, are the measuring stick right now. That's the team you wanted to throw in. You don't want to make the Dodgers even better than they already were.
Oh, Jesus. I know you're going to be doing a different show, but you'll always be a part of this family.
I can't have an opinion on a baseball team
you
in Atlanta?
You absolutely have a right to have an opinion, and I have a right to replay that freaking clip of what you just said
you
come July.
Just make sure you promote the show after you play it. That's
well,
fine.
Well, don't promote the show.
I promote everything.
Loogie. But just say you could hear Loogie. Don't just say some idiot said this. Just say Loogie, you could hear him at night, you know, or after Yankee games.
When we make fun of Big Mac over the last year and a half,
yeah.
Do you think I properly promoted his overnight show or not really?
You properly promoted it.
All right, so then you got nothing to worry about.
What are you worried
about? Big Mac.
You worried that we're not going to play promos? Listen to Tommy Lugauer at night.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's a good idea.
All I know is when you said the Braves stink,
Evan.
It like went through my stomach.
Sitting there right now in your seat, yeah. I know there's a lot of skeletons in the Braves closet. Who do you think is a bigger challenge to get through to get to the World Series right now? The Braves or the Dodgers?
Oh, the Dodgers, right. But the Braves are going to be good. Like right now, I think the Braves are better than the Mets. Like, if you want me to rank the teams in the NL East, I think they're better. They had a lot of injuries last year. They're a very talented team.
They've underperformed the last couple of years, the Braves.
Last year, they underperformed.
What did the Mets do last year, Tom?
The year before that, we finished with the same record, basically.
But we're not talking about the Mets. We're talking about the Braves.
No, I'm talking about the Mets. Like, the Mets are worse than the Braves. So, when you say, if he went to Atlanta, they're not that good. I'm like, not that good. They're better than us right now.
But I
so they would have ended. What was that?
It was a no biggie for him.
No, if that's his opinion, that's what made my stomach crawl. That, like, when you said the Braves are not good.
I said they stink.
They stink. You said they stink. You're right. No, it was even worse. Like, as you said it, it just went through my stomach. Like, oh, I could just feel what's about to happen.
I think they stink. I think some of their players have gone backwards. I think they've made some bad moves in not retaining like a Max Fried. I think they've gone the other direction. We could disagree on that. But what we can agree on is the Dodgers are the gold standard. So them getting Edwin Diaz is a major move, and you made the best team even better.
I'll tell you this, and I'll also say our meeting in the middle is from your lips to God's ears, because obviously I want the Braves to be the worst team ever. So I hope you're right, and I hope I play the clip saying, thank God Tommy was right. The way I view the L.A. Dodgers is this. They could win 125 games. They could win the division, get the number one seed. As long as we take care of our business and win our division and get a first round bye, I'll take my chances in a short series. I'll also take my chances that someone else can knock them off.
Right.
But when it's your division, you're not getting a first round bye unless you beat that team. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to win the division to get a first round bye, which is the ultimate goal. So I would always rather a team outside of my division get better than a team inside my division get better. And that's why, yes, him going to the Braves would have bothered me a lot more than him going to the Dodgers. Right. And I'm already bothered by him going to the Dodgers.
Right. Because you're in a 162-game series with the Braves. You're not with the Dodgers. That's the way you have to look at it.
Like, finishing with a better record than them is nice, but you can be, as long as the format's the format, which could change in a year or two, right? You can win your division, have the second best record in the league, and I'm good to go. Give me my chances. If they're in your division, you can't do any of that unless you win your division.
Any shot the Orioles in this realignment end up in the Met division?
Yeah, I think there's a great chance of the radical realignment we talked about.
I know.
Absolutely.
But we thought Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So you're asking me, is there a chance Pete's in my division? Absolutely.
Because then that's really staring you in the eye, huh?
I won't worry about that until they've settled the CBA and they're talking about radical realignment.
Okay.
Until then, you can't get me freaked out on December 16th, 2025 about the possibility of Alonzo being in my division.
It just came to me. That's all. I was just thinking about the idea of, oh, wow, this could happen.
But I can guarantee you this. There'll be a whole recall about it.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Let's head out to Montville. It's Steve. It's the fan. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Moose. How's it going?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Kids good?
Yeah, everyone's doing well. Thank you for asking. I'll get into it. We had a little bit of an illness going through the house. I mean, I'm ecstatic to be here in studio based on what transpired the last 3-4 days, but we'll get into that in a little bit later on in the show.
Okay. I want to talk about the Mets offseason plans.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, not signing Pete is going to be a disaster. Now, putting aside the offense, the power, okay, just talking about the defense. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the late 80s, Mets had two center fielders, Mookie Wilson and Lenny Dykstra.
Yeah.
And it was always a debate, you know, who should be the center fielder. And in the end, it turned out to be Philadelphia's second baseman, Juan Samuel. And it was just a disaster. So I think even defensively, Pete will have a better year than the gentleman that they just signed. And offensively, he's 10 times the player.
Well, but Stevie, were you really surprised Alonso left?
You know, I wasn't surprised, but I think it would have been a little easier to take if, and assuming he is making moves for more offensive players, if he had gotten those first, then you could see, well, you know, no chance for Pete. Let you down easy. But this was just horrendous. I mean, this is like going.
Well, the off season is not. It's interesting. I'll tell you this. I mean, Stearns is basically throwing everything out there for it. I mean, he is throwing himself into the line of fire because he wants to build this team in his mold. If it works, great. He'll get all the accolades. If he doesn't, he's going to be looking for a job. I mean, that's it.
Well,
is giving him the freedom to be able to operate and run this team as he sees fit. And Cohen's going to do that because he waited for him for the better part of a year and a half to shake free from the Milwaukee Brewers. So they didn't feel like it was sustainable. After their run to the NLCS, we saw what transpired this past year, and it was an unmitigated disaster. Now, they could talk about culture, and they could talk about the locker room and, you know, whether or not Lindor and Soto got along and Nimmo and Lindor got along and everything like that and, you know, where it went all awry this past season. I mean, you want to get down to it. You know, we could talk about relationships and friendships and whether or not the team bonded. The pitching stunk. You can't win in baseball. If you don't have no pitching. So the pitching stunk, and you know that is an indictment on David Stern. So you know you can get everything else. Everything else is a distraction. It was not sustainable. Well, what transpired early last season, I said at the time, was not sustainable for the Mets. I didn't think it'd fall apart like it did toward the tail end of the year. But, you know, and they found a jewel in Nolan McClain. You know, I don't know what Jonah Tong is going to be. His fastball looked like a little short when it comes to major league level. It didn't have the late life that you're looking for. But I think they found something, obviously, in a big-time talent in Nolan McClain. But the reason, though, why the Mets failed this past season, the nonsense about everything else, the pitching stunk. And the moves that Stearns made at the MLB trade deadline were disastrous.
Absolutely. But I will say one thing about Stearns. That's good. He's managed to do in 2 years what it's taken Brian Cashman 20 years, which is to get all the fans against him.
Oh, well, Cashman won a lot. I mean, I don't, you know, and,
well,
and
yeah,
the fans
saying, you know,
are,
Cashman,
listen, and Stearns, you know. Stearns is, you know, quirky a little bit. You know, doesn't really give you all that much. Keeps everything close to the vest. The Alonso signing should not be, and I understand why Mets fans are irate. You love them, right? You love them. You loved them as a homegrown Met. You love the moment that he had becoming the all-time home run Met, home run leader in Met franchise history. You know, the call by Gary Cohen that night and, you know, the graphic that they had on in center field and everything like that. And Alonso has had a lot of big moments for the New York Mets. And it's going to be very, very difficult to go out there and replicate that production. However, him leaving in free agency should not be surprising in any way, shape, or form. I mean, if you just paid attention, read the tea leaves, Stearns was not a Alonso guy, and the Mets were never going to. If the Mets didn't want to give him a long-term deal last offseason, what would lead you to believe that they were going to give him one this offseason?
and they don't believe that an aging, power-hitting first baseman, who's better defensively than probably he's given credit for, but is not Keith Hernandez, is not Dom Mattingly, is not JT Snow at first base, well, what would lead you to believe that that all of a sudden that mindset is going to change? And they don't believe he's going to age well. I mean, that's it. And the Baltimore Orioles are a desperate team. Had a disastrous year looking for power. They know what they're going to get in Alonso, at least in the short term. He gets the 5-year contract with the Baltimore Orioles. So that should not be all that surprising. Now, the twist here for Stearns is you better win. I mean, that's it. So, you know, you could tell me, well, we're going to be better defensively now with Marcus Semien at second base. And we have changed the locker room and the culture by getting rid of Nimmo because him and Lindor didn't necessarily see eye to eye. And maybe Lindor and Soto now, or maybe Lindor's now off this team. And I could see the reports that, you know, he doesn't really believe in stars. He believes in grinders. Well, I'll tell you this. This is New York City, not Milwaukee. And, you know, you could appreciate, and I'll give Stearns an opportunity to go out there and give himself the time to be able to build this team. But last year, the team was built on where the offense was going to make up for the deficiency in the pitching staff. And you could tell me all you want that Marcus Semien is a plus defender at second base. That's great. Fantastic. Is this team now all of a sudden going to be built on run prevention? That's the way it's going to be built? When you're looking at this group? You got to give them time to develop it. You know, Devin Williams was not particularly good as a Yankee. Now he's going to be with the New York Mets. And now he can grow the facial hair, and there's got to be no change in hair policy like the Yankees did last offseason to, you know, go out there and pacify one player. But do I all of a sudden think Devin Williams is going to find it? No, ironically enough, I think basically Pete Alonso took Devin Williams' soul when he hit that home run in the playoff game 2 years ago. He's never been the same since. Luke Weaver, giving him a contract, I mean, okay. We gave the Mets a ton of credit for their pitching lab and what they did a couple years ago. They got a little arrogant, a little cocky with it, and it blew up in their face. Now we'll see exactly how this group is put together in 2026 and what the finished product is for David Stearns. But it is going to be entirely different, and Cohen has given Stearns an opportunity to build this team as he sees fit. The results have got to be there. Let's head out to Brooklyn. It's Sal. It's the Fan. What's going on, Sal?
What's going on, Moose? How you feeling, my brother?
I'm doing great, Sal. Christmas right around the corner, holiday season, ringing in a new year. Everything's wonderful.
And the kids have grown by leaps and bounds, man. I remember when Jackson was born.
Oh, my. It's crazy. Time flies. You get older as well. It stinks. It really does. 12, 10, and 9.
No, it's a good thing.
No, it's great.
No, look at the bright side. There are guys your age that didn't make it your age. So you're doing good, man. Yeah, as long as you can open up your eyes every day, you're ahead of the game.
That's a good way to look at it, Sal. Thank you.
I'm not old school. I'm really old school. Like, remember Trot Nixon when they used to say he can wake up out of a cold sleep and then he's going to hit the Yankees?
Yes.
Alonso can wake up in the middle of the night. He's giving you 35, 120, man. Shame on them for getting rid of that. I'm an old school guy. Give me power on the corners and we'll go with that. But that's their problem. Our problem is Cashman. Dead money at third base. Nothing at shortstop. Second base, who's a good player, but he's not that player that's going to grind it out for you come playoff time. No matter what you want to say about Rice, he's still not he's no glove. He's just a half a ball player, a bat. We got a team that's full of DHs.
Yeah,
and that's all built
on. Yeah, Yankees like the DH.
It's all built on. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Cashman gets upset when A-Rod and Derek on TV blast him for saying this roster is not constituted to win. Don't get mad, Cash. Do something about it. You got $300 million and you still can't put quality out there. This is New York, man. We like A-listers. We don't like B-actors. That's why these guys.
Yeah, but Sal, I'll tell you, but here's the deal. You like to win. Like, was Joe Girardi an A-actor? Was Charlie Hayes an A-actor? Was Mariano Duncan an A-actor?
No, but you had, they were the ancillary parts.
But they were part of a team that won.
Correct, man.
Right?
Those were the grinders.
Graham Lloyd, Mike Stanton, Jeff Nelson.
100%. Wetland. Absolute. But you need those players along with the big names. You can't just go in there with Aaron Judge. Because if Judge is done, they're not even a playoff team. It's very simple.
Well, we saw that. I mean, you saw that when he hurt his foot out in Los Angeles, the team went 82-80 that year. Yeah, you can't replicate what Judge does.
So that's, you know, LA's got, they got Betts, Freeman, Otani. They got three legit Hall of Famers in a lineup. We got one Aaron Judge. Come on, New York, wake up.
Well, Sal, the years with the Yankees, Yankees got to realize, and, you know, and Judge obviously has got to carry his part in October as well. Stan was disappointed this October, but Stan has basically been a really good October performer. And I'll be honest with you, like, I've grown to appreciate Giancarlo Stan, but the Yankees have got too many DHs. And you've got to rid yourself of that nonsense. Part of being multiple is not having guys that are, you cross the fingers and hope and say a prayer that they're able to field the position. Dominguez can't field. Like, let's be realistic here. Like, Dominguez can't field. I don't know exactly where that development was, and as I understand, he's playing center field. Difficult to play left field in the Bronx. I understand sun glare, everything that we've heard before, but Dominguez can't field a fly ball. When he does, it's like, you know, and he actually catches the ball. You say a prayer to the good Lord above. Can't field. Ben Rice is not a fielder. Ben Rice has no position. You've got to rid yourself of the gluttony that you have there. You got to have a balanced lineup. You have guys, yeah, that are multiple. And by the way, did anybody in the Yankees analytics department, when they acquired McMahon from Colorado, did they look at where he was trending offensively? And the other thing, did you look at the home and road splits, what McMahon hit at Colorado as compared to what he hit on the road? I'm just curious. Maybe the analytics department should hire me. You know, like a quick Google search. I think you can look up Baseball Reference, look up home and road splits, Ryan McMahon. Look at that. But, you know, now all of a sudden, plus defender at third. Yes, I agree with that. Great. Fantastic. He could field the position. Have the Yankees roll Jazz out there for a number of games. 10:57. Melusa's with you. I'm frustrated. You can tell. 888-808-1019.
As we are coming off another Sunday of disappointment from both of these teams, we could turn our attention a little bit to baseball. I'll get back to football in a little bit because I still think there's a conversation around Jackson Dart and the narrative that has been, to me, overplayed. And it's even leading into the minds of the spotters on the NFL sidelines to determine whether or not he should be taken off the field to take a look at a concussion, which is, I guess, you know, listen, better safe than sorry. So, but it has become such a talking point around Jackson Dart, I think it's hurting him. And I think it's a little bit overblown. 888-808-1019. But let's get to the baseball a little bit as we are coming off a week, and that's what I talked about on Saturday. We are coming off a week that really changed the Met fan in a lot of ways. And we'll get to the Yankees, too, at 888-808-1019, and they haven't really done anything yet. But a week that changed the feeling of the Met fan on not just the team and their expectations for this coming season, but a week that changed their opinions of the two men who are supposed to lead them out of the mess that the franchise has been in, right, under the Wilpons. And there have been much worse franchises than the Mets, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the Met fan last year, especially after the Juan signing Soto, after the Juan Soto signing, where literally every Met fan felt like, wow, I mean, this is the place to be. No one cares about the pinstripes. No one cares about the 27 championships. No one cares about any of that crap anymore. The Mets now have the richest owner. The Mets have the smartest executive. Team players are recognizing it. Juan Soto for $5 million more. $5 million. 765 to 760 chose the Mets because he knows that's where winning will take place. That's the best chance for him to come here and win because of the future of the franchise, because of the farm system, because of the pockets of the owner, because of the savviness of this young executive who built up the Milwaukee Brewers and now is going to be able to use this owner's payroll and build a super team. And within a year and this week, now the feeling around this entire franchise is completely different. Everybody thinks the owner is either cheap, somehow was only waiting to get his casino and now doesn't care about spending, done losing $200 million a year and you can forget spending money for a while, or is being, you know, led by a general manager who has control over the franchise, who doesn't want to spend money and doesn't believe in it and thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, when in honesty, he's a moron. Like, that has now become the overwhelming thought of the Met fan base, without question. And that's one hell of a week and one hell of a year. You get the 83 wins and losing out on the postseason spot to the Cincinnati Reds, losing the last game of the year to the Marlins, which has become a familiar refrain. And then to have this offseason where they allow Pete Alonso to go be a Baltimore Oriole. And over the weekend, we saw that press conference and allow Edwin Diaz, their star closer, to become a Dodger. And in both of those press conferences, what are they talking about? The exact same things that the Met fans thought they had in spades. Winning, right? Edwin Diaz, whether you believe they blew the negotiations with Diaz as I do, and I think they allowed him to go to the Dodgers. I know many Met fans disagree with me that he just wanted to be a Dodger. Okay, say I'm wrong. He wanted to be a Dodger. He's there in his postgame talking about how it was an easy decision to go to the Dodgers because he wanted to win. That tells you about how he feels about the state of the Mets after Juan Soto made a $765 million decision to hitch his wagon for the next 15 years to the Mets about winning and family. You got Diaz talking about, I left because I wanted to win. And you've got Pete Alonso talking about home and family and the city and embracement and all that stuff that was supposed to be what the Steve Cohen family, and the New York Mets were all about. And right now you're trying to come to terms with that, and that's just the peripheral, and that's just the feelings. Then you get to the actual baseball, and how do you replace Pete? How do you replace the closer? And right now, the only move they made so far is the move with Jorge Polanco on Saturday. And look, I talk about this a lot on Saturday. Polanco's a good player. He has no experience at first base whatsoever, but he's come up as a middle infielder. He's played a lot of second. Early in his career, he played a lot of short. He could play all over the infield, and I'm sure he could pick up first base, and certainly with range and arm, he's going to be better than Alonso almost instantly. But around the bag and scoops, I don't know. Pete was pretty good at that. I know people want to dog his defense, and if you look at the metrics, yes, he was graded out as the worst defender at first base in all of Major League Baseball last year. To me, watching him on a daily basis, yeah, the range isn't very good at all, and certainly his throwing arm, which is what, two, three plays a week at max? Like, that's not very good either. And clearly, you know, I think it even got worse after he took it hard that he caused the injury to Sango, or at least he felt he caused the injury to Sango when he had to jump up for a lousy throw and he pulled his hamstring. But he's really good around the bag, and he's got soft hands, and he makes a lot of scoops, led Major League Baseball in scoops. Those save errors. But now Polanco's coming in, and quite clearly you are seeing how David Stearns wants to operate. He wants short-term deals, and he wants flexible, athletic baseball players, which isn't a bad thing. I want to be clear. Polanco had a great year last year. Jorge Polanco had a really strong season. The year before, not as great. And, you know, he's 32, and you signed him for $20 million a year. I think that's a lot of money per year for Polanco, but two-year deal for a player who last year had an 821 OPS. In 138 games, he had 26 home runs and 78 RBIs, hit 265. He only struck out 82 times and, you know, slugged pretty well and had an OPS of 821 and then performed in the postseason. That's a solid player. That's a very good player. Last year, he made $7.7 million. They gave him a $13 million bump. That's a big raise. That's a lot of money per year for a 32-year player where you're putting out a position where he's never really played. But as you start to see them trying to rebuild this Met team in David Stearns' image, you're seeing what he wants. He wants flexible, athletic baseball players on short-term deals. This is the epitome of what David Stearns would like to do. Now, does it make them better? Does it make them better? I don't know. I don't know if it makes them better. Right now, it's hard to say it does. You got to see where the plan is. But we'll get to Michael King, as it sounds like he's been, he's going to limit himself to the American League East. And we'll get to my idea and my thoughts on his connection still to the New York Yankees. But it sounds like the Mets aren't interested in any of these pitchers in free agency. It sounds like they're going to have to make big-time trades. They have to impact the rotation in some way. They're open to trading Tong. They have prospects to trade, no doubt. But, I mean, I don't know where this goes. Now, there's a lot of rumors to the idea they could trade with the Padres. If they bring in Miller, the closer there in San Diego, if they bring in Mason Miller, now you have replaced, in my mind, Diaz has actually been better and more consistent over the last handful of years, but Mason Miller is one of the best relievers in baseball, without question. You bring him in, you have done as good a job as possible in replacing Edwin Diaz. That would be a move I would absolutely applaud. That chain, Miller and Williams in your bullpen is a legitimate back end of the bullpen, no doubt. Now, it's going to take a ton to get him because of his value and who and how he pitches and the control he has. The control you have over him over the next, I think, 3 more years. So it's going to take a massive haul. But that reshapes your bullpen for the next couple years. I love him. So that would be a major piece for the Mets if there's some smoke to that fire about trading with San Diego. Could they move Lindor and really break up this core completely? Like, I don't know what's next, but losing Pete, losing Diaz, not looking to improve the rotation via the free agency, not wanting to give Bellinger the contract he wants right now, waiting to see if people come back to you. The Mets weren't supposed to be the team that waits for the players to come back to them. They're supposed to be the team that's aggressive and goes and gets who they want. And clearly, they didn't want Pete. I think they messed up with Diaz. And they wanted Jorge Polanco to come play first base. And again, this year was great. Last year, he was terrible. That's kind of the one outlier. He's been, more consistent over the last handful of years, but last year, 2024 was particularly awful. But outside of that, he's a good ball player. So I'm not going to knock it because it's a good move. He's a solid ball player, switch hitter, athletic enough to pick up first base. I will see how he is at it, but you could DH him, do different things, and see what it means. What does it mean for a Beatty, who the general manager talks about penciling in at third base? What does it mean for Vientos? What does it mean for Jeff McNeil? You would imagine Jeff McNeil is going to be out the door. But right now, it's hard to look at the Mets' plan. Look at how the Mets are operating. Look at their unwillingness to get uncomfortable and spend money and be who Steve Cohen is supposed to be and somehow build a team in a different manner and a different way. It's hard to see the plan and feel overly confident about it. Let's wait and see. Season doesn't start for a long time. You got plenty of time here. Not a lot of guys are off the board. Bellinger, Tucker, all of the free agent pitchers. Like, there are a lot of trades out there to be made. The Mets could look dramatically different than they look today. But does Jorge Polanco do it for you? And does the way they're doing business right now with the richest owner in baseball make any sense to you? I'm open to the plan making sense. I'm open to what this team can look like heading into spring training. But right now, it is hard to envision a plan that makes them better than last year. And last year, they only won 83 games.
What's going on, Jesse?
Hey, Mark. What's up? Good to hear you in the fan again. With the Mets, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard. I mean, look at Andrew Friedman. He went from Tampa Bay to L.A., you know, they're owned by Guggenheim. You know, Cohen has money. I mean, everything's similar. I mean, why doesn't Cohen say, "Look, David, look at that guy over there. Just do what he's doing. He keeps saying he wants to be like the Dodgers. So just look at the GM and look what he's doing with the organization. Follow his blueprint
And that's it. You don't have to.
Yeah, but Jesse, then, I mean, you could hire any Tom, Dick, and Harry. Obviously, you know, David Stearns has had a game plan here with Steve Cohen, sold him on his vision. Cohen waited for him before getting him from Milwaukee and hiring him in the position. So he's going to operate this team as he sees fit. And Cohen lets you do your thing. I mean, he just does. I mean, Cohen stayed out of the way. I mean, he just is. So, you know, and Steve, before David Stearns came aboard, was aggressive and spent money in Scherzer, Verlander. Didn't work. So clearly when David Stearns and Steve Cohen are having conversations, this does not come at all that big of a surprise. I'm sure David was open and honest in terms of not willing to give Pete Alonso a long-term contract. And I get the frustration. I get the anger. I get it. But this is what Cohen has bought into. And we'll see how it turns out. And listen, the proof is going to be in what the team does this upcoming season. And if it ends up being disastrous, I don't think the length of stay here for the president and general manager is going to be all that long.
Look, I'll give Stearns credit for the farm system. I mean, their farm system has really improved within the last couple of years.
Yeah,
but I think as a GM and acquiring talent, I think he's not that's not his strong point. You know, I think he had a GM in Milwaukee also. So over here, he's doing everything by himself. He might need some help because I think it would serve him to have like a GM like a Manaea, like one of those types like the Browns.
This is his vision. This is his baby. I mean, Jesse, this is his baby. You know, so, you know, he doesn't feel like he needs a general manager. You know, he's got enough of a support staff. He's built the support staff himself. You know, this is his group. This is his vision of a team. So this is his baby moving forward here. You're right. Those are positives. Steve Cohen's talked about it time and time again about health and a healthy farm system, top bottom, being a feeder for the major league level, right? And you as an organization have to go out there and identify who's real and who's not. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. And being able to pair those guys off that you don't necessarily believe in long-term as an organization when their value is at their peak to be able to maximize their value to help out your organization in the here and now. Those are what good teams do, right? They don't let talent just rot away on the vine. So we'll see exactly where this team ends up. It's not a finished product, right? We're all judging a painting before the artist actually signed the bottom. You know, so let's see exactly what this team looks like when this offseason is done and complete.
I think Stearns made a big mistake with Diaz. You know, I think he wanted to come back. He just felt he wasn't treated the right way, and that led him to look at LA and say, why am I going to waste my time over here when these guys seem like they don't know what they're doing? Let me go to a team that knows what it's doing, has just won twice. You know, they could have handled that better. And
well, Jesse,
yes.
Yeah, and here's the, you know, you can tell a player. What's amazing about Diaz is clearly, I mean, he might have just wanted the Dodgers and wanted the LA lifestyle, the commitment to winning, you know, beautiful ballpark, the weather, everything that comes along with it, you know, the culture, the expectations, the accountability. Maybe he was tired of the nonsense. Maybe he felt disrespected, I don't know, after bringing in Devin Williams, whatever it might be. I just don't understand the negotiating tack from the Mets. If you really wanted Diaz back, and I've got an owner that's worth $22, $23 billion. He's the richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball. Then why not go, you know, 3 for $75? Why do you tell Diaz, well, it's 3 for $66, but we're willing to move more? Why not just go above and beyond? Show him the love. Why not? I mean, instead of him not coming back to you and then people being like, well, why didn't he come back? Well, why didn't you just make your best offer that you possibly could? That's what I didn't get from there. And you know, that's a gamble. You know, they're banking on Devin Williams to now have a huge bounce back season and resemble the closer he was in Milwaukee as compared to, you know, really what ended up being a lost season in 1 year in the Bronx with the New York Yankees. Let's head out to Malvern. It's Sonny. It's the fan. What's going on, Sonny?
Moose, long time no speak. How you doing?
Sonny, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. A couple things. One with the Mets, and then a couple things with the Giants I want to rattle off. One with the Mets. I think the Mets made a big mistake with Pete Alonso. I think he's going to be fine another 3-4 years. His power numbers are not going to change. He never misses a game. I mean, great clubhouse guy, and all the numbers obviously speak for themselves. I think Lindor was actually the guy they should have gotten rid of because he had the problem with Nimmo. He had the problem with Soto not welcoming to the team.
So that's just my opinion. I think he's going to do unbelievable in Baltimore in that stadium. He's going to, I mean, he's going to do great.
Yeah,
I wish
Sonny, when the Mets went to the NLCS, who was the guy that had all the big hits?
Yeah, I know that, Moose, but
they haven't won a championship. Alonzo.
Yeah, I know it's Lindor, but they haven't won anything, Moose, you know?
No, that's I had
to change his team up.
Can
and I
ask
know
you,
about...
so Lindor, sure. Lindor's got a, Soto just signed for $765 million. Lindor's got to call him up and kiss his rear end?
No, I mean, out of respect, call him up and welcome to the team. I think that, I think yes.
I mean,
I think the short answer
you know,
is yes.
I don't, you know, I guess. I mean, but I don't, that's the downfall of the team, Nimmo and Lindor. So now get rid of Lindor after, by the way, weren't Met fans this past year when they had the rights ceremony calling up this station talking about naming Lindor the captain?
And that wasn't me. You know, I know Lindor.
I mean, that was
know,
the conversation. I mean, that was a conversation that was going on. Now you want to jettison Lindor out of here. And maybe they do. Maybe they trade him to San Diego. Maybe he's gone. Maybe the last guy standing is Soto.
I'm tired of his starts, you know, 2-3 months without doing anything. As far as the Giants, a couple things really quick. Would you agree Eli was at his best when the pressure was the highest? That's number one. And the answer is yes. Eli was incredible. Number two, there's 300 Division I colleges. You can't tell me the Giants can't find a kicker. And Moose, in this day and age where kicking is so important, like you said before, Giants are down two. They got the ball 2 minutes. They get the ball, say, at the 30. All they need is 30 yards. Every week you see somebody, every week, and I'm not exaggerating, you see somebody kicking a 60-yard field goal, and the Giants can't even kick a 30, 40-yard. It's ridiculous. And as far as the coaching situation, like, I believe more than ever, Moose, you need a proven commodity here, not a defensive coordinator, not an offensive coordinator. With the problems you had with neighbors last year on the sidelines, bickering, he's, you know, questioning the coaching on his couch this year. You have Carter, obviously, with his problems this year. You need a guy like McCarthy in here. I'm sure of that more than anything. You can't bring in an unproven guy. I'm sorry, Moose. And
yeah, Sonny, you know who I'd be interested in? If he shakes free down in Baltimore, would be Harbaugh. I don't think Tomlin's going to shake free. And if I'm looking for a disciplinarian, I don't necessarily think that's Mike McCarthy. I don't disagree with you. Like, I think the idea now, I don't know if the Giants, and I don't know this, but I would venture to guess, I don't know if there's the appetite for taking a gamble on a Chris Shula and hoping for the best.
I love Harbaugh. Yeah, that's
and,
a no-brainer.
I need to bring in somebody. Yeah, I need somebody that's going to step into the building and clean up the nonsense.
But why would Baltimore let him go? He's a iconic
coach. They feel like, you know, that it's run its course. They fall short this year. The window is closed. That they need to bring in a different voice. I don't know. I'm just asking. It's been something.
Moose,
you know,
can I ask you one
it's been thrown out there before. That Giant fans talk about Mike Tomlin. I don't know if I necessarily think Mike Tomlin's going to shake free from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but. You know, that's the kind of thing, you know, it's a shame if Sean Payton was ever available, and he's never going to be. He's in Denver, and they've got aspirations of going to a Super Bowl. But when he was, if that caliber of coach was available, that's what you're kind of guy that you're looking for, that you know you set in, and he's going to set the tone and temperament for the entire team.
Yeah, let me ask you one thing, Moose. Moose, where did this come from? I've heard it on your station. For some reason, some idiot started a conversation about the possibility of trading Dart so they can get the one with number one pick. Why would you trade a proven commodity who the Giants love for somebody who's unknown, like, say, Mendoza? Who started this? Have you heard this? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've not. I hate my kids using this term, Sonny, but I just say it's stupid.
Yep.
I mean, that's stupid.
I know. It's unbelievable.
And not all opinions are good opinions.
And one last
thing.
Sonny,
that's what you got to realize. Not everything. I mean, that's dopey.
Yeah, one last thing. Where would you go in the draft? I know there's a lot of holes, you know, safety, shutdown corner, second receiver, linebacker, so many holes to fill, Moose. What would you be, if you had your choice, number one, going into the draft, whether it's the one, number one, two, three, a pick, it doesn't matter. Who would you, your first, not player, but position be?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants, first off, I want to see exactly where they go for a head coach. You know, I wouldn't necessarily be drafting a receiver that high when I've got Malik Nabers and I've got a quarterback that makes everyone around him better. Scatterboo comes back. He can be a receiver coming out of the backfield. I got to see exactly what happens with my offensive line. You're obviously not drafting a guard or an interior offensive lineman that high when you're looking at the NFL draft. You could look at the linebacker spot, but I've already invested in the linebacker spot with Abdul Carter and Kayvon Thibodeaux. Okereke, his production has decreased the past couple of years. When John and I do that Giants talk back, Giants live show on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8, I mentioned I'd love to get an elite-level cornerback. But the Giants also, you know, if someone falls in love with Mendoza, you know, you might be in a position where you could move back and still get the caliber of player that you're looking for, and be able to pick up assets that can help your team and your organization long-term.
Yeah, how about the ridiculous also comments that I heard that they – to me, they're ridiculous. Like, they wouldn't do that, what you just mentioned, with the Jets, because in case the Jets get their franchise quarterback, who cares? As long as the Giants get their players, Moussa, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I understand that sentiment more than the first one. Know this. Like, just, the Giants have found their quarterback. The search is over. There is no debate. There is no conversation. Now, does he need to get down? Does he need to not take the unnecessary hits like he did up in Foxborough? He's been checked for a concussion 5 times this year, entered the concussion protocol once. Is that sustainable? That is not sustainable. But from a commitment, leadership, performance perspective, if you're a Giant fan, I understand this is another long-lost season. You got 3 games to go in this NFL regular season, and the games are not relevant. And you're looking toward the offseason, and there's going to be significant change to the organization once again. The quarterback question has been answered. That's not debatable. He is going to be the guy here moving forward. And the Giants firmly believe it. I think we all firmly believe it. Brady has talked about it. That is out of the equation. Now the question you have is, what do you do to help build this team around him? Because you want to win with Jackson Dart when he's getting paid like a rookie, under his initial rookie contract, not when you're paying him $30, $40, $50 million a year. Because then that road becomes a little bit more trickier in a salary cap world. 1157, Malusis with you, 888-808-1019.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.